Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, we are living in the year 2022, the 21st century, and it's very important for people to understand their environment also. Alhamdulillah, we are living in a time in which one can describe this era to be very, very modern. After the Industrial Revolution, then you have this modern world, the age of the internet, and where things are changing all the time. Now, if we were to go back and look into the environment and the world in the 7th century, going all the way back to the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the year 571, and we know that he was born in Arabia, the city of Makkah, Makkah Mukarramah. The people in Arabia were stone-hearted, very strong-minded individuals. But just to give you some idea how the world was at that time, very different to ours. And that is the time Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in this city, Makkah Mukarramah. Our world population now is what, just under 8 billion, 7.7 billion, just under 8 billion. And the land that Allah has given insan is a lot of land. 36 billion acres. 36 billion acres. And so there is no such thing that we are running out of land and things like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this very clearly. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا Have I not made this earth sufficient for you? أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا It is enough for everyone. For the people who are walking, for your population, and also for the people who are dying. But in 7th century, the world population was 208 million only. 208 million. As compared to now, 208 million and now nearly 7.7 billion people. How were the people at that time around the world? You had the superpowers, of course, at that time. Khusro II was in charge of the Persian Empire. A very, very powerful empire. And then you had Qustuntunia, the Constantinople armies that were spreading everywhere also in the 7th century, gaining a lot of land, might, power. So the Constantinople armies were also everywhere. Khusru was another person, Khusru the Second. And the only Roman emperor who received the letter by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, himself writing it to him, was Heraclius. Heraclius, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrote a letter to him that he should accept Islam. In China at that time, in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a very powerful dynasty, you had the Tang dynasty that ruled. And then when you look at our country, England, it was the Anglo-Saxon Empire that was just coming into Europe at that time. The Anglo-Saxons mean the people who come from mainland Europe. So that includes also Germany. That's where our Queen comes into connection. And Denmark and Holland and Netherlands and all these areas, then it became one England. But in England during the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most powerful region was Northumbria. That was a very powerful region. And the first man to accept Christianity was a man whose name is Ethelbert of Kent. So he's the one who was a staunch Christian in UK from Kent, who started spreading Christianity. And when you look at India, you had by the end of the 6th century, India was ruled by the Gupta Empire. And before that you had Buddhism and Jainism that were spreading also, Buddha. And in the 7th century, of course, the great miracle that was witnessed, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the splitting of the moon. The king of Kerala, I can't recall his name, but the king of Kerala was with his wife walking in the evening, and he saw this, the splitting of the moon, and this is something that is well documented. So this was the kind of world that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into in Arabia. But what we have to understand that Saudi Arabia, Saudi is from the Ali Saud, but Arabia was a very difficult terrain for any man to exist if he was not born into that community. These were people who would kill each other over a small argument. Churi nikal kar maar dete the. They were drunkards, zani, zina. They would drink alcohol. Warriors, fighters. Can you imagine? These were people who would bury their own daughters alive. They would bury their own daughters alive. Subhanallah. This tells you so much about their condition. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not put in Europe or UK or America or South America or China or Russia or Africa, slightly far away from where the other prophets came, Syria and Iraq, a region that was selected by Allah because of how the people were. Qawm-e Thamud and Qawm-e Aad lived in that region, Arabia. And that is where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, to make and transform the most difficult people in reference to character, in reference to civilization, education, the most backwards of people, most backwards, was Arabia at that time. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is born to the mother, Bibi Amina, mashallah. And in 40 years only, this is the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have an empire. He did not have wealth, money, or he was not even a leader. But in 40 years, a complete transformation, nobody could bypass the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and everyone knew of him. In fact, he became the most beloved to the people of Arabia. Isko soche zara. Look at how the world is, and look how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is living amongst the most barbaric, uncivilized people. Perhaps if we were to give tashbih, you know, we read the history of the Mongols and how these people were. Wahshi people. They didn't care about anyone. But in 40 years, what a miracle. Whatever he would say, they would listen. How he would walk, they would look and observe. Anything they wanted to give, they would give to him. If he gave mashwara, it was accepted, despite the fact that he was young. They had no choice but to say that he is, amongst everyone in Arabia, Sadiqul Amin. If there's anyone who is the shining star, as the Quran says, one najmi, najm means the star. And if there's anyone who is Yasin and Taha and Muzammil and Muddathir, is only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are forced to give him this title, Sadiqul Amin, the most truthful and the most trustworthy, khalas. Now what I want to speak today is for us to understand, and this is something that's very important for us to understand. If we can understand this, inshallah it will help us a lot in life. We understand the psychology of human beings. This is, and the Quran says this, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah has revealed a book in which there is open nasihat for humanity. And if you want to be clever, you have to be connected to the Quran. The Quran makes you clever. And so let's look and divide the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a partition. And that partition is life before Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and post Jibreel visiting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So let's put Jibreel alayhi salam in the middle. The life before Jibreel alayhi salam and the life after Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's very easy for us to understand. Life before Jibreel alayhi salam, for 40 years when he was in Makkah, he was the most beloved, the most loved. In fact, Abu Lahab loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much that because he was the elder of the community and they were all related to one another, he decided to take two daughters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his daughter-in-laws. So two sons are engaged with the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, this is back in the days in Jahiliyyah. There was no prohibition at that time whatsoever. And Allah is Hakim, Allah knows. I'm just giving an example that how much love was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Abu Lahab himself said, you know what, not one daughter, I want both the daughters, Ruqayya and Umm Kulsum. Ruqayya and Umm Kulsum I want. And they got engaged. No consummation, ruksati was not done with the sons of Abu Lahab. So before Jibreel Amin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them was the best of the best. He was the best person in Arabia. Now someone who is so widely accepted unanimously, 100% by everyone, women, young, old, everyone knows him. They were about to kill themselves over Hajar Aswad, the black stone. A civil war would have erupted. They took their swords out, all the tribes. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and it was agreed that Allah's Nabi, if he puts the black stone in its place, we all agree to that, and there's no problem with that. And this honor was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the power given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the pre-Islamic era, when of course he was not crowned with Nabuwat. So this was before Jibreel alayhi salam. Everyone loved him. Then in Hira, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam comes to him. Iqra, read. The ayats of the Quran, first ayats are revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He now becomes the Nabi of Allah. Now when you become the Nabi of Allah, the responsibility now given to him is now you start doing Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar. What do you do? You go and start telling people what is right and what is wrong. Ya ayyuha rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Tabligh karo, tabligh. Tabligh karo. Ye tabligh ye nahi hai ki hum musalman ko daawat de. Tabligh ye hai ki ghair muslim ko tum daawat do. What is it? What is tabligh? Tabligh is that you give dawah to the non-Muslims. This is already our duty, that we look after our Muslim brothers and do fikr of the ummah. This is already there. This is part of the package. It is part of our five pillars. Allah's Nabi was told, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Go to them. Go to those people who are burying their daughters alive. Go to those people who say our God is Lat and Uzza and Manat. Idol worshippers, mushrikeen. Go to the Christians and go to the Jews. And go to the world. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have made you a light for the whole world. Now all of a sudden, the attitude of the people change. Before Jibreel, he is the most loved, beloved. He is the most loved and beloved. Now after Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him, revelation comes to him, and the duty is given to him that, oh my Nabi, now you do Amar bil Ma'ruf. You are not to compromise You are not to, wherever you see something wrong, stand on it like a mountain and say to them what you are doing is wrong. No matter what. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he knew that these are the people who love me so much, wanted to test them. So he climbed the mountain of Safa and he called everyone. When they saw it's Muhammad bin Abdullah calling everyone, everyone is happy. Everyone comes. Ye to hamara mahbub hai. He is our beloved, the son of the beloved. He is from the family of Abdul Muttalib. Bahut bade aadmi the Abdul Muttalib. Khandani insan. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is talking to them with diplomacy. See, when you talk to people, you have to be very wise. So he said, how much do you trust me? They said, we trust you more than we trust anyone else in Arabia. He says, do you trust me more than what your eyes can see? And they said, yes. Your eyes are our eyes. Your heart is our heart. He said, imagine if I was to tell you that an army is behind the mountains of Makkah, you can't see it, but they are about to attack you. Will you believe me? They said, yes, of course we will believe you. But you haven't seen with your eyes. No, we don't have to see. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, okay, this is how much you trust me. Okay. So now listen to me. The gods that you are worshipping, these gods in front of the Kaaba, this Lat, Uzza, Manat, these tall idols made out of wood, steel, stones, and earthly material, and the clothes and the face you've given it, and these idols inside the Kaaba, are all false gods. What you are doing is wrong. Oh ho! Can you imagine what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just did? Subhanallah, rocking the entire foundation of Arabia in one shot. Okay? In one shot, Arabia is rocked. And they were shocked. Abu Lahab didn't know where to go. Abu Jahl and all of the... See, what is he talking about? You are insulting our gods. He says, I'm not insulting your gods. I'm inviting you to the truth when you have so much trust and you know I am Sadiqul Amin. That Sadiqul Amin is telling you, Kulu la ilaha illallah, say there is no God but Allah, tuflihun, and you will have salvation in both worlds. That is it. The one who was now the most beloved in Makkah, Mukarrama, becomes the most hated. What does he become? The most hated. And this is what our Akabirin say, that in this dunya, when you are a man who does his own worship, and doesn't bother with the wrong that he sees in the community, then everybody will like that person. They will call him Bo Nek Manas Che Bicharo. What will they say? Bo Nek Manas Che Bicharo. Bo Dayo. Why people don't like Maulvis? Why? People don't like Maulanas because they do the works of the prophets. The same people in Arabia who loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most of the Muslims today, we have this disease. We go for Hajj, we go for Umrah, mashallah, we are pious, we keep rosas Monday, Thursdays, we wear kurta, we are Sufi, we are this, we are that. But when we see something wrong, ni bolwanu jagro thai, apru hun che bhai. Sorry, am I speaking Gujarati today? Yaar, ye meri bhi zaman kahan change hoge? So what happens? No, don't talk. Buzdil. What are we? Buzdil. Allah give long life to Oasi in Hyderabad. Two Hindus, terrorists, attacked him. What did they do? Lekin mard ka bachcha hai. Kya hai? Mard ka bachcha hai. Akele India mein ek hi aadmi bol raha hai. Bas Oasi. I make dua for him every time. I live here, but I always make dua for him. And I don't know, 3-4 days ago, there was a hunch in my heart, Ya Allah, you get this feeling something might happen. You know, just yesterday, Imam Abdul Rahim Sahib had sent this, that Oasi was attacked, you know, with someone firing at him at the guns, you know, with the guns. So when you start talking to people and when you start doing the works of a Nabi, people will not like you. People will not like you. But if you are a jahil, you just, your kids don't pray namaz, you're not bothered. Your wife dresses up like a tart, you're not bothered. Your daughters, you know, wear whatever they want, you're not bothered. Bas main ek hoon, bas main ek hoon, meri daadi hai. He looks in the mirror and he looks at himself, MashaAllah, tu nek hai bhai. We don't want these kind of people, and this is not actually, this is a betrayal to the Ummah. What is it? This is a betrayal to the Ummah. We want Mujahideen, we want people of strong Iman. We want people who have the power to say what is right and what is wrong. And we want Muslims who have the power to listen and accept their mistakes. That is the problem. All of a sudden, the same people, Abu Lahab was fighting for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's daughters. Immediately, he is disrespecting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tabban laka ya Muhammad, alihada jama'atana. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who do you think you are? Astaghfirullah. I won't even say the meaning of tabban because for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I won't use my tongue. But this is what he said. Alihada jama'atana, is this why you have invited us here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, tabbat yada abi lahab. Tab goes to you. May you be destroyed. Halakat teri ho. Destruction is for you and your family. And your wealth and your children. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Nothing is going to avail you in the hereafter and assist you. And then he pressures the sons. Both of you give divorce to the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they divorce the daughters. But what a replacement. Both daughters are married to the best of the best, Hazrat Uthman. Hazrat Uthman. Ka Abu Lahab ke bete. So what I'm saying, my respected brothers and elders, today when somebody is telling you your mistakes, we don't like it. We don't like listening to the bayan. We don't like coming to the bayan. Why? Because when you come to the bayan, when you listen to the lectures, we are actually being told our mistakes. That this is what you are doing which is right and this is what you are doing is wrong. We don't like it. And people try to avoid that. And they don't want to listen. So the same people now started to hate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we need to learn from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Despite all the pressure that was put on him and his followers, a handful, resolute, firm, steadfast, istiqamat, all the words you can think of. He did not budge, he did not compromise. He did not compromise. He told them on their faces, this is right and this is wrong. Right, wrong, right, wrong. They didn't like it. This is the difference between this ummah and the previous communities that came. The previous communities lost everything because they were willing to compromise with batil, with falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ بأيديهم, that, you know, wail and woe be to these people, they write with their hands. ثم يقولون هذا من عند الله, then they start saying that, you know, this is from Allah, this revelation is from Allah. They write, يكتبون الكتاب, they write. So if you look at what Allah is saying, isn't it true? The gospel of Bible, the gospel of Mark, all the Bibles, the gospel of Mark is written by someone who is Mark. They don't know which Mark, but someone who is Mark. The gospel of Luke is written by Luke, who was not born in the time of Isa alayhi salam. He was a doctor walking around with someone who was once upon a time killing all the Christians. Matthew, John, all of these people, nobody knows. And Allah is saying this, this is what they do. They write themselves. And then they say, this Bible is the word of God. هذا من عند الله. Why? Because they make a lot of profit. ليشتروا به ثمنا قليلا. But it's ثمنا قليلا for them as compared to the hereafter. But in Islam, there is no compromise. You will never see anyone compromise. The halal is halal. So much pressure came upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one thing that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught his ummah, you can give your life and die, that is fine, but you are not to be a sellout, you are not to compromise. You are not to. Political embargo, they cut ties, they say nobody should talk with the family of Hashim, the family of Rasulullah, they were put on one side, no food, no buying and selling. Things were so difficult. You know, Abu Talib was pressured, meetings after meetings, oh my nephew, forget it, compromise, no, I will not. Allah's Nabi, you know, the famous words in Seerah, let them put the sun on my right and the moon on my left. I'm not going to give up. This is the message of Allah. This is Wahi. And this is it. This is what I'm going to do to the people. They have to listen to me. The followers were tortured. Bahut mara pita. His own son-in-law had to migrate, Hazrat Uthman, to Abyssinia. People had to move in different directions. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when a person has complete iman and yakin upon Allah and does not compromise with falsehood, that is the time the nusrat of Allah comes. What comes? The nusrat of Allah comes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to assist you. Look at the nusrat of Allah. The people of Makkah were refusing and were not accepting, but a few hundred had accepted. A city up north, Medina Munawwara, taqriban the mu'arrikhin have mentioned, historians, that before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam even made hijrat, taqriban all the Ansar were Muslims. All the Ansar taqriban were Muslims. Look at the nusrat of Allah. Look at the aid and look at the madad of Allah. Even before reaching there, that is why we know that when he came to Medina Munawwara, people were outside receiving him and the girls were singing. Why? Because they were all prepared. They wanted him to be there. They wanted him to be their leader. He was to be the crown. He was to be crowned as a king of Medina Munawwara, of the Arabs at that time. That is why the Munafiqeen didn't like that. And this is the madad and the nusrat that comes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First a person is tested. So my respected brothers and elders, what is right and what is wrong. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to help his Nabi. The first jung larai, the battle of Badr. A man who was a chief, Suraqa, in his form, shaitan came to help the mushrikeen of Makkah. The mushrikeen were mobilizing this huge army to attack Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. And all the Shayateen and his army also came to form an alliance with the Kuffar to fight who? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the fight that is known as the Battle of Badr. And he came in the form of a human being, Suraqa. And he said to them, you know, he said two things. Nobody is going to be ghalib over you today. And inni jarul lakum, and I am going to be your protector all the time. Nobody is going to. When he saw this Suraqa and Suraqa's army, which were actually the Shayateen, who were they? In human form. The Mushrikeen thought that's it. They got to Badr. When they got to Badr, the Shayateen were also there, ready to fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the angels. They have the Shayateen and Rasulullah has the angels. Badr. When they see the angels, to unki to hawa nikal gayi. See, that is why they say, you know, shaitan, when he hears the words of azan, wuzu breaks. Inni ara ma la taraun. Look, you know what I see, you people can't see. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to fight with the angels. We are not here to fight the... He didn't say that. He said to... And they fled from the battlefield. This entire army, Shayateen, they ran away before the fight. But the mushrikeen, they says, well, what can we do? We are here. We win or we lose, whatever. But we will win because Muslims are only 313. And they fought the Muslims, but imagine fighting the Malaika. So alhamdulillah, victory was given to who? The Muslimin. And so all of these pages of history, my respected brothers, that is shown to us. Is shown to us why? So that we realize, number one, we have to be real Muslims. And real Muslims is what? That we start our Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar with wisdom, in our own capacity, with the people that are around us. With the people around us. And the best way to start Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar is to make sure that all family members are praying namaz. All family members are praying namaz. And to look after each other. And if you see something that is wrong, you are not there to insult them. Unko zaleel karna maksad nahi. Islah karna maksad. You must have a sincere intention that no, this is my brother. And let me assist him and let me help him. That is why you will find that the imam has got the most difficult responsibility than any profession. Ye Friday ko yahan baithna on the pulpit and talk, the most difficult. Because you have to speak right, tell the people what is right. There will be people who might like what you are saying, there will be people who might hate you. But you are not to look at that. You have to do the works of Anbiya. And this is something very, very important, my respected brothers. Allah give everyone the tawfiq. And you see, all the Sahaba worked on this. All the Tabi'een worked on this. Where you see something wrong, if somebody tells you that this is wrong, then my brothers, one thing is that you are stubborn. You are not stubborn. This is called takabbur. What is it? Koi aadmi tumhe tumhari galati batata hai, to tumhare andar itna takabbur hai. Someone is telling you your mistake. You are so arrogant that you are not prepared to accept the truth, number one. And you are not accept to change. Then Allah save us. These are individuals that are described as dhalin. Described as dhalin, deviated people. So we have to understand, if someone has got a reason and someone is telling us, take a back step and think about it, why is he saying this to me? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. A believer is a mirror to a believer. The mirror will never lie to you. Will a mirror lie to you? Mirror kabhi jhooth nahi bolta. Ajeeb ye mirror ki kashish. A mirror will never lie. You look at yourself in the mirror, it will tell you how old you are. Your color, your eyes, you have a black eye, red eye, whatever, it'll tell you on the spot. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock, any time you look in the mirror, it'll tell you the truth. Allah's Nabi is saying a believer is a believer, is a mirror to another believer. With love and affection, you are kindly telling him this, that look, you know what, this is not right in Shariat and this is accepted in Shariat. This is the main sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why the people of Makkah did not like him. Why? Because he told them on their faces. And if a person is not going to accept the truth, then Allah is going to remove them. وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ And Allah will replace them, the people of Medina came. The people of Medina came. All of them accepted the truth. So Allah give us the tawfiq that we accept the truth. Just a few points from the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi would never compromise. On one occasion, after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, perhaps the most beloved wife is Hazrat Aisha. And when Hazrat Aisha saw Hazrat Safiya, the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously women sometimes, you know, this element of jealousy is natural in a human being. A woman can say this. When she is sharing one husband, it's difficult. So when she saw Hazrat Safiya, Hazrat Aisha said, ah, short woman. What did she say? She's short. Now imagine, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it was you and I, we wouldn't have the guts to say anything to the wife, would we? Yani aapke paas do biviyan ho, to pehli biwi ko daan sakte aap? Nahi, dusri ko bhi nahi daan sakte, pehli ko bhi nahi daan sakte. Dono milkar tumhe daanti hai. They both combine and what do? Shout at you. But look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it came to deen, he did not miss out anything. He says, Aisha, fear Allah. Fear Allah. What you said is totally wrong. And this does not befit a Muslim speaking like that about another Muslim lady. And foreign islah of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. She said, but Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not lying, I said the truth. Allah's Nabi said, you spoke the truth, that is why it's called backbiting. If it was wrong what you were talking, it's false accusations, allegations. What is it? It is, because you spoke the truth, that is why it's ghibat. That if you were to speak in front of her like that, taunting her, she won't like it. Subhanallah al-Azim. Wherever you see, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not compromise. And that is why the Quran says, the two attributes in the Quran for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bashir and Nadir, that he is the one who will give you glad tidings and he is the one who comes as a warner to you of Jahannam. Bibi Fatima, the most beloved, he loved Bibi Fatima, the youngest from them all. Youngest from them all. Aaj jo hai na, maa baap apni aulaad mein fitne mein par jaati hai bichare. Maa baap, sometimes they can't say anything to the children because of the love. But look at Bibi Fatima and look at the islah. High level islah. High level islah. It comes in the riwayat that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the hujra, the room of Bibi Fatima, And as he was about to enter, his eyes fell towards the curtain which was decorated. The curtains were decorated, full of color. And he looked at the curtains and he turned back and he went off. He didn't come inside. She inquired, she said to Hazrat Ali, that my father came, I don't know what happened, did he remember something, is he upset, please go and inquire. Hazrat Ali went, says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is something the matter? He said, it does not suit the daughter of a Nabi to have too much of dunya in her room. Allahu Akbar. Just a curtain. Look at the level of how he would make islah of his family. Nobody can live like that. Nobody can live like that. 0% dunya. But with his family he made sure. Nothing of dunya should ever be connected. He didn't even like the colorful curtains. Aaj mere aur aapke ghar ko dekhe, hamari carpet ko dekhe, hamare chandeliers ko dekhe. Lekin wo nabi ki beti thi. Kiski beti thi? You and I are different. You and I will die and collapse if we have to ride a bicycle and go everywhere. Huh? It does not suit the daughter of a Nabi to have this kind of dunya in the house. Remove it. No compromise. Sahaba were like that. Ajeeb. Subhanallah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Kabristan saw some people laughing. What a senior sahabi. He says, you people are laughing in the Kabristan. I am never ever going to speak to you. Islah dekhe. Look at the anger. Never going to speak to you. If Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is never going to speak to you, then the doors of rahmat are closed for you, bhai. Radiallahu ta'ala. The great faqih, the great sahabi, sahib-e-Quran, qari-e-Quran. And there are so many points, so many other points. Hazrat Zainab, the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I recall, Allah's Nabi had said that give one camel to Safiya. Give one camel to Safiya. So she also said, I'm not giving that camel to this Jewish woman. Because Hazrat Safiya was from a Jewish background. She accepted Islam, of course. And I'm not going to give this camel to this Jewish woman. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got so angry that he stopped talking with his wife for 3 months. 3 months. Kalam ban. Look at the level of Islam. Imagine. Look at his students. How they must have been sahaba. How perfect they must have been. At this level of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar that was there. That is why Islam spread like wildfire. Abdullah ibn Umar, once in the family sitting and he was giving nasihat to his children, he said, don't stop women from coming to the masjid. Amare jo Indo-Pak or, you know, we, Deobandis are very strong in this actually. We don't allow women to come, but now we should slightly think, what is it? Women can come if they want to come and pray namaz here, bichari, par sakte hai kya? Koi problem nahi hai. When we are traveling elsewhere and when we have women in the car, we want to pray, the mothers want to pray, where do they pray? Kisi ke ghar jayenge? Alhamdulillah, you know, if you look at the masajid, you have this facility, this is very important. So Abdullah ibn Umar said that, you know, Allah's Nabi said, don't stop women from going to the masjid. So his son, his name was Bilal, his son, one of his son's name was Bilal. So he says, oh Abba, no, no, no. If we allow women going for 5 times a day namaz, that will be an excuse for them to meet and go out and spend time outside. Aurton ko to aur kya chahiye bhai? Shopping ke liye gaye to khatam. Phone aa gaya to ha, assalamu alaikum, ha, kya jo ghante lag jate hain. That's it. Dekho bichari aisi makhlooq hai. So the son said this, oh, if we allow them to go to the, they'll use this as an excuse, oh, we're going to the masjid. You can't stop us. When they go to the masjid, then they'll go here, there, everywhere. And when he said that, it is said that the family members have never seen anger like they had witnessed upon the face of Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Hazrat Umar. They said that he told him off so much that we thought that the last thing will be that the father is going to throw him out of the house. He said, and basically what it was, I am telling you the farman and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are giving me your opinion. I am telling you a hadith and you are giving me your opinion. I am telling you a hadith and you are giving me your opinion. Look at the level of Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir, you know, he once had colored his hands with saffron. It can? Saffron. And as a man, you're not supposed to do that. So he had colored his hands. Saloni yaar, kya colored ho gaya? Saffron ke saath. I think he had some blisters. And the wife had put some color on it just to heal it. And he came and he extended his hand to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the hand. And Allah's Nabi turned away, walked away. Look at the islah. Look at the level of Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. This is what you call love. This is the training he gave to his team. Ammar came running, Ya Rasulullah, I can cut my hands for you. What is it, Ya Rasulullah? What do you order? He says, all I say is remove this saffron from your hands and come and do musafaha with me. Come and meet me. This is not jais for a man. Or mehendi or colors are for women. So look at the level of Amr bil Ma'ruf. And so these are the things we should be doing. My brothers, if somebody tells you something, don't be offended. Always look for the truth that no, this man is telling me, or this person, whatever he is saying, it is the truth. Just because your friends, your dads and your community or so and so people or whatever have done this, it does not mean that because people are doing this, you have to do this. It might be wrong totally. It might be totally wrong. We are people who follow our Salafus Salihin, the Quran, the Hadith, and our scholars, our fuqaha, our muhaddith. Everything is there. Nobody is going to reinvent the wheel. It's all there, black and white. Fatawa are open for you. Kitabs are there for you. Everything is there. But we must learn, we don't compromise with something that is false. The same thing. Homosexuality. Even in Christianity, Judaism, even in Hinduism and Sikhism was never allowed. But now, pressure. Desire, perversion, desire, perversion. Different words. You play gymnastics with words. You give it a spin and you confuse people from shaitan. Now the wrong, you are calling it right. When you call the wrong right, then that right will never come. That is why in the hadith it comes to revive that sunnat which was dead, the reward is equivalent to 100 martyrs. To revive that sunnat which was dead. Yes, it was not too common. And you did it, alhamdulillah. 100 martyrs. Why? Because that is Noor. Now imagine, this is how the world is. They compromise because of their desire, because of their profession, because of who they are, because of that sticky situation they get into. But look at the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We covered the 7th century, what was happening there. And look at Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One man. But that one man today, in a population of 7.7 billion, Majority of the people are mu'mineen. What are they? I believe that. Majority of the people are mu'mineen and muslimin. Most of the people in this world. It's the barakat. Not compromising. Yes, of course, there are certain things that we have to talk with wisdom, adab. There might be a reason. Okay, that is all understandable. And at the right time, maybe if you have the right reason, you do mashwara and people are there to guide you and you say something, that is all acceptable. But be very careful that because of you, your deen should not be harmed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
One second, let me just shut this off as well.